are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of June. The Utah Jazz, Los Angeles Clippers get ready for game number 4 of the series. We rewatch game 3 and get you ready for game 4 coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! Hello, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. How are you? We're in Los Angeles getting ready for game number 4 of the playoffs. The Jazz losing game 3 handily to the LA Clippers. On today's show, we're going to rewatch game 3, share with you, and get you ready for game 4. Today's show is brought to you by Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. It's Locker Room. Check out all of the great Locked On hosts and their Locker Room rooms throughout the week, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, so the first thing is the Clippers just came, right? Like, you know, their franchise to some extent was on the line. I think there's a feeling in the league that if they lose this series, Kawhi could opt out. They're kind of run for this, you know, bring these two stars together, run for a championship was on the line. And they answered. They answered with tenacity. They answered with effort. And it wasn't even that our guys didn't have it. I've thought this whole series, particularly as long as Mike's out, that the Clippers are the superior talent of the two teams. That, and, you know, if you've listened to the show, and we're very analytic-based, non-emotional, and when I ran the numbers at the beginning of the playoffs, the Clippers were the team that came out to me as the best in the West with everyone healthy. Now, they don't have Ibaka. We don't have Conley. But when you... So they, to some extent, my feeling on them is that they dictate where the series goes. That they have the talent, the personnel. Tyronn Lue has shown the ability to play multiple different styles. He played a lot of big with DeMarcus Cousins and Zubac. And then in this game, he played about 11 minutes of big. And then even went to another 14 minutes of Nicholas Batum at the center. I mean, they have this, you know, these two massive, these talented players in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And then they've signed a bunch of guys to the minimum who wanted to come to L.A., live in L.A. and play for the with these two stars and Reggie Jackson and Nicholas Batum. And then they did a nice job drafting Terrence Mann. And they have Zubac from a steal of the Lakers, and they have Cousins, and they built up this pretty massively deep roster, and they can play multiple different ways. And I think that's probably the part of them that's been the most impressive in this series is truly how many different ways they have played. Seems almost frenetic at times and seems almost illogical at times, but what they're beginning to do is zero in on what they're going to do. And now the Jazz have to answer it. So let's address what they're going to do. What they've done for the majority of the game is now play either Marcus Morris or basically Nicholas Batum or Kawhi Leonard as the center. And they're playing lineups that are just crazy small. Paul George, Nicholas Batum, Reggie Jackson, Kawhi Leonard, pick your fifth guy, Terrence Mann. And your biggest guy, you know, you're long still at 6'8", and they cover ground, and Donovan drives the basket, and he's pretty heavily suffocated. But they have gone slow, or small. Then what that does, so defensively they're switching everything, and it's very hard to get Rudy involved in the pick and roll the way they're switching things. And I don't know if we can do this, but right now what's happening is every time we run a pick and roll, we retreat back out. I don't know if we can run a pick and roll and attack. But that's obvious to me right now is that, you know, Rudy rolls and then there's no one with him. And then we end up spacing the floor. And if Donovan goes one-on-one, they all just suck in on Donovan. So, you know, that's hard. They doubled Donovan a tremendous amount on the outside. And we did not have great success with it. In the first half, I counted that they doubled Donovan 11 times. Clarkson hit a three. Donovan hit two threes. And otherwise, other than Clarkson scoring off his own miss, we didn't score. So we went 3 of 11 on possessions in which Donovan was doubled. Now, Bogey got a good layup miss. Bogey airballed a three. You're not going to make every shot. But it did fluster us in the first half. We did not get a great deal of looks. They're long and athletic enough with this lineup that they were actually getting back pretty well and not at a crazy disadvantage. So now it's going to be a floor spacing ball movement question. We're not moving the ball. We threw 241 passes. We had just 15 assists. It's very reminiscent of the Rockets series where they start to switch everything and then our ball movement declines, understandably, because there's just no passes to be made. I think you're going to have to see more off-ball pin-downs, off-ball actions to try to get Bogey the ball or to bring it. Now, Joe's got to run it and Donovan comes to get it, or things of that sort to be able to try to create something. But up top, when they're running a pick-and-roll right now, because they're so small, they just switch. Someone goes down with Rudy. Unless our ball handler is able to turn the corner off that pick and roll, which isn't really a pick and roll, and get downhill, then there's nothing really you can do about a small guarding Rudy at that point. Quinn, in one of the voice tracks on the rewatch, did say, hey, we got to drive more aggressively. I think you'll see that from the Jazz. So that's on the big picture of what they're doing on the defensive end, is that they've gone small. They're switching dramatic amount of things and stymieing our ball movement. And frankly, we still had a pretty good offensive game. The problem is, defensively, we're having a hard time. They're going small. They're spreading the floor. So Rudy's got to guard someone at 25 feet. They're driving to the basket hard. Rudy comes to help, and now it's a kick out for a three. And their guys made a ton of shots. Right there. Their complimentary guys made a ton of shots. Nicholas Batum hit two threes. Reggie Jackson continues. It went 5 of 6. Batum went 4 of 6. Marcus Morris continues to struggle. Luke Kennard went 2 of 4. Terrence Mann went 1 of 2. Boyan went 1 of 5 for us. Joe had a very good game. Clarkson had a very good game. Royce went 4 of 8. We actually hit our threes. We hit 43%. But they, you know, they had that. They had the shooting game close to the shooting game that we had in game two. If you listen to Locked On Jazz last week, what I kind of told you was that we had an unusual shooting game in game two. We can't continue to win that way. They had the unusual shooting game in game three. You know, it's still a make or miss league. And we shot about 20 percentage points above our expected field goal percentage in game two. And they shot about 17% above their expected field goal percentage in game three. Now, they were good looks, but they made an unnatural amount. And so, you know, that's really the primary thing that drove it. All right, so back to they're doing a few things offensively. One is predominantly they're just spreading the floor. And they're driving to the basket. Rudy gets pulled in. They're running some slight guard-to-guard action so that you're on the move. They engage Donovan a bit more defensively than they did in previous games. Tyronn Lue had just the incredible comment in the pregame that when Favors is in the game, we want to attack the rim, and when Rudy's in the game, we want to shoot threes. Like, completely truthful and honest and revealing, and they killed us. When Rudy was off the floor. They went 5 for 8 in the first quarter when Rudy was on the bench. They went 6 for 8 in the second quarter when Rudy was on the bench. They went 4 for 7 in the third quarter when Rudy was on the bench. They had an offensive rating of a 143 in the first half when Rudy was on the bench, and they had an offensive rating of 100 when Rudy was on the floor. So, you know, and then in game two, they had a 169 offensive rating when Rudy was on the bench. So those are big minutes. We've got to find a way to get those minutes back. What they've done is they've stopped engaging Rudy Gobert defensively, and I'll explain how we come back. Plus, they've changed what they're doing a little bit with one of Kawhi Leonard going back to a pet play we talked about before Game 2. So both those things coming up, plus a collection of new notes and thoughts on the matchup and the game. So that's all coming up as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located at Woods Cross, also in Logan. The Chevy lineup of trucks and cars is just outstanding. A buddy of mine was over at his house the other day, in love with his Volt, the new electric car that Chevy has. The truck lineup, and this just tells you the versatility of Chevy, the truck lineup is amazing with the Silverado and the Colorado. Those are just signature amazing trucks that are out there. And then the SUV lineup gets better and better with the Equinox, the Blazer, the Trailblazer, the bigger Traverse is there. I drove the 2021 Equinox and really liked it. It's 0% right now for 6 years as well. So is the 2021 Traverse, 0% for 0% APR for 6 years as well. That's all at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and in Logan. Go check them out. Feel free to email me first. We can set you up with a meeting if you're looking for a little Americana and Chevy and the Murdochs. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, with their 9 core flavors, all the specialty flavors, and great offer right now for a Built travel cooler with every purchase. That's like a $15 value. 100% real chocolate, 100% delicious. Whether it's mint brownie or coconut or double chocolate or cherry barcia, maybe even raspberry. I like the raspberry. The Built Bars taste like candy bars. I didn't bring Built Bars on my trip, and I'm missing my Built Bars. I'll be honest. I was like, oh, I should have brought Built Bars. I should have brought Built Bars in my Built Bar cooler, and then the chocolate wouldn't have melted. Built Bar, 100% chocolate, 100% delicious, with incredible macros for you. 130 calories, 2.5 fat grams, 4 carbs, 4 sugars, 17 proteins, and 17 grams of proteins, and just 2.5 fat grams. It's pretty incredible. Built Bar is your candy bar tasting protein bar. All right, here's what they're doing. Here's a few things they've done differently. In game one of the series, they ran 20 pick and roll plays against Rudy Gobert. In game two, they ran 21. And last game, they ran just 16. So they've stopped engaging Rudy in the pick and roll. And they've increased what they've done to Favors. Favors had an unbelievably great game in game one. And they ran 17 pick and rolls at him, and it was 0.9 points, and they got nothing out of it, and Faves was amazing. They've changed that, where they're running their pick and roll and how they're running it. In the last two games, they're averaging about 1.4 points per pick and roll and Faves is involved. So that's you know, they figure. What they're doing, so when Faves is in the game, they're running a low pick and roll or some sort of pick and roll, getting Kawhi Leonard coming downhill or somebody at Faves and attacking the rim. And when Rudy's in the game, they're driving, trying to engage Rudy and kicking to threes. That's really where they are right now offensively. It's that basic, that simple, and they have so much talent they can do it. They're crazy talented, and so that's the key there. They ran 34 isolation plays in that game, which is way more than they've run in the other games. So they're increasing just their one-on-one isolation, guard your yard and beat us. It's not our strength. This series is now materializing into all of the areas where there was concern in playing the Clippers. This is what happens when you play great teams. Phoenix has gotten very fortunate to play two beat-up teams, and they're playing amazingly well. So they've had an unusually stressless route to this point. But this is going to be stressful. This is probably going 7. And we hopefully get Mike at some point in the series. But if not, we're going to have to find a way. And that's the other thing they're doing defensively, and I'll get into that a little bit. But staying on their offensive side, that's their play right now, is those two different approaches to the game. The other one is they just got Kawhi Leonard the ball lower than usual. So there were some high pick and rolls where Kawhi's coming downhill, but for the most part, a lot of times they were running the pet ISO at Kawhi at the free throw line that we talked about earlier last week. If you listened to kind of were two or three pet plays we talked about. And what they did is a little bit of a change on it is they set a pick, engaging Donovan defensively, making the Jazz react, getting Royce off of Kawhi a little bit. And then Kawhi could either kind of stroll into his pull-up jumper or work himself downhill if it was faves that they got into the pick. But they're starting Kawhi much lower, allowing him kind of to get where he wants to get, better spots on the floor. And we're going to have to push him off that spot and not let him get that comfortable just catching in that zone. But if you watch, they're running much more just that ISO at the free throw line, and then they either can run a low pick off it or make a play. So those are the primary offensive things that they're doing. And Paul George was terrific, attacking the rim aggressively. Also, you know, you just can't blink for a possession. Mia Oney's guarding Paul George, and not entirely sure what went wrong, but he lets him into his rhythm off the bounce three, which he shoots at 40% off the pick and roll, that you're absolutely not allowed to let him into. I don't know, you know, I can't tell you enough that I know what Oney did wrong or why. Zubac may have just said a great pick, like the other guys are good too. But it was his, you know, that little mistake or whatever went wrong on that possession to allow him, seem to like just bust open the floodgates for him. That the minute he got that kind of rhythm three, then he was going. And, you know, this is where I kind of commented, I thought the Clippers at times in games one and two didn't seem like a team that played all 48 minutes connected. They certainly did in game three with everything on the line, and they got the momentum going of being at home and playing in that fashion, and they kept that rolling. And they were engaged. And there were a few possessions, actually, where I thought we were, like, for example, on this one. And I don't know. Maybe, you know, Zubac just set a great pick. But I don't entirely know what happened that led the Jazz to miss on that play. Like, that play seemed to open up the floodgates a little bit. So what do we do defensively? Well, first of all, you just got to give, you know, Paul George more resistance. Paul George has to have his life be difficult, be touched, be felt, be bothered, not be able to run into rhythm. On the defensive end, when you're going to have to slow the penetration down so that Rudy's not all the way under the basket or as deep, or that the rotations don't have as far to go. If you can find a way to get everything backed up a step so that, you know, you slow down the dribble so it takes an extra second, Rudy's able to get a little further out and make the decision a little earlier. Those are the things that are going to allow you to get back. They were getting Rudy all the way pinned, kick, and then Kawhi would kick it out. You're going to have to guard your yard, and it's tough. Like, they've got a lot of one-on-one dribble guys, and frankly, we don't. And so it's going to be interesting and tough, I think, for us to, you know, have a really good defensive game. I think that's a lot of what they want to do. They're not playing DeMarcus Cousins anymore. They're not playing Rajon Rondo anymore. Both those things are too bad for us. They have definitely narrowed down their rotation into some of the things they want. On an offensive side for us, we got to play a little bit earlier. We're not getting the early transition threes that we, you know, kind of became our signature during the season and that we wanted to get. And the Clippers, I'll give them credit, they're either in full attack the offensive glass mode or they're all the way back. Like, the early in the game, the Clippers were all the way back. There would be a shot go up, they'd have five games back, and they were just getting back in transition. Then, when Zubac was in the game, later in the game, they actually just went and pounded the offensive glass on us. And, you know, it's an interesting to see a team kind of change up their philosophy that much in the middle of the game. Tyronn Lue's staff, and he did a good job. Like, they came really well prepared in game three with the season on the line, and they played like it, and they prepared like it, and they were really ready. And they deserve And they deserve that credit for it. But, you know, part of what we do is get out and go. And we did not, when I watched the game, I had us with two transition threes in the ballgame. Now, they're not getting many either, to their credit. So I would say, you know, we're doing the right thing on our end, and holding back some of their transition, as well. Both teams are kind of forcing the other one in the half court, and frankly, neither team's passing a great deal at this point, but our passing numbers are low. So can we find a way to get the ball rotating, get the ball moving? Donovan drives, kicks. Donovan right now is driving. There are two guys on him when he starts. There's a third guy when he's on the paint. He's been amazing. Can he get it out a little bit? Here's another defensive thing the Clippers are doing that is causing the Jazz a great deal of problems and is really well aligned. Joe Ingles is not a good isolation player. I think he's in like the 14th percentile of isolation. He can't beat anybody. So they're switching 1 through 5. When Zubac is on the floor, they were playing drop big. Joe kills drop big. Joe and Rudy run their pick and roll against the drop big, and they're absolutely fabulous. One of the things that they started doing was having Zubac switching on Joe 1 through 5 because they knew Joe couldn't beat Zubac 1-on-1 off the dribble. And it's interesting that Zubac is playing almost no minutes when Donovan Mitchell is on the floor. So in the first half, Donovan checked out at the 251 mark, and Zubac checked in at the 355 mark. So Zubac played 1 minute with Donovan on the floor in the first half, and when Donovan came in, Zubac went back out. In the second half, Zubac checked in at the 401 mark. Donovan checked out at the 237 mark. So he was on the floor for about a minute and a half, and then Donovan came back to open up the fourth quarter, and they were on the floor together for about 2 minutes. But if Joe is the point guard in the game without Donovan on the floor and Zubac is in the game, then they switched 1 through 5, and Joe doesn't really have the skills to beat anyone. These were bad stretches for the Jazz. When Joe was at point guard in game one, in the first quarter of game, we were -4, and in game two, we were -9. So that's, you know, we're missing Mike Conley. You couldn't trap us the way you're trapping the Jazz with Mike Conley, and you couldn't do this to Joe. All right, I'll run through kind of a litany of notes that I have from my 3 pages of notes from watching the game as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Indeed. If you are hiring, if you've got to go through that process, you know it can be crazy time-consuming. Well, you can get a quality short list of candidates with whose resumes on Indeed match your job descriptions faster. You only pay for the candidates that meet the must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent easy. Plus, Indeed's tools like Indeed Instant Match give you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skill tests that on average reduce hiring by 27%. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Let's check our betonline.ag and see what it did to the odds of finals matchups. A lot of changes. The Jazz and the Nets were the most likely matchup. Tonight, the Clippers are a 4.5-point favorite. The Sixers are a 3-point favorite. And tomorrow, the Bucks are now a 2.5-point favorite in Brooklyn. Wow. The series, the Jazz are still -175, Clippers +155. And the Milwaukee Bucks are now favored to beat the Brooklyn Nets. -130 to +110. So when the weekend started, our most likely NBA final matchup was Brooklyn versus Utah. It still is, but it's now +475. Then Brooklyn versus Phoenix is +500. Milwaukee versus Utah is +525. Philadelphia versus Utah is +600. then Milwaukee versus Phoenix, and Philadelphia versus Phoenix, and then the Lakers, then the Clippers matchup. So the Jazz, still the odds-on favorite to represent the West, but at plus 120 with the Suns now at plus 135. And interestingly, Brooklyn is still the odds-on favorite to beat the represent the East, even though they're favored to lose their next game, or expected to lose, according to the odds. Brooklyn's plus 160 and Milwaukee's plus 175. If you're real sharp, I bet you could figure something out there, putting yourself on the right side of multiple bets. That is all at betonline.ag. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you a 50% welcome bonus. All right, let's look at my notes. Another adjustment I haven't talked about, Clippers open the game on with Kawhi on Donovan and Paul George on Bogey. It's just another, you know, really what the Clippers have done, to their credit, is figured out how to play us without Mike Conley. Trap Donovan, put Kawhi on Donovan, put PG on Bogey. We don't have another player who can naturally score. Switch 1-5 on Joe Ingles because he can't beat you in isolation. Like, they have figured out a plan on what to do with us without Mike Conley. Mentioned it, the Clippers open the night, pure transition defense, no offensive rebound. Jazz do a nice job throughout trying to have Rudy make sure he's guarding whoever's in the corner. On the far, on the weak side corner, and then he comes in. Kawhi goes to Ingles. Kawhi on Ingles with Donovan out was another move they made, and that's problematic. Joe Ingles has a hard time bringing the ball up against Kawhi Leonard. And then put Patrick Beverley on Jordan Clarkson. Again, kind of, we're short a guy, and they're real, and they're making it. Interesting middle pick and roll with Zubac they were running a lot of, which they did not earlier in the series. So they've kind of go back to that with Zubac, where they're running the picks when Zubac's in the game. And running double staggers for PG. They got Paul George going by bringing him off two picks on kind of instead of a wide pin down. They were bringing him down as two picks coming in and then he's catching it and with an edge coming off the corner. We'll see. I bet you that the Jazz probably have an adjustment to that. I wrote really no offense when Joe's a point guard other than Clarkson. I mean, those are tough minutes for us right now, right? We just talked about it. In the first half, Joe at the point, we were minus four. Second half, or second quarter, we were minus seven. Third quarter, we were plus one. Fourth quarter, we were plus one. When Joe Ingles is in, Donovan out, and Joe's at the point guard, we just don't have a lot of firepower. Right now. Their switching was much more aggressive. In the Rockets, when the Rockets used to do something called a touch switch, where when you switch, you step forward and touch the guy that you were switching to. In game two, I have all sorts of clips that I looked at where they would switch and just be soft and we'd walk into a three. They were kind of almost touch switching in game number three, where they would switch and come out to our guy and got us retreating throughout. Lack of fear of some of our guys is noticeable. They're not concerned with a dribble drive game, fear one-on-one play game of a lot of our guys. Clippers ran 56 picks and 34 isolations. That's part of their evolution. We got Kennard on 21 picks in game one and have not got him in more than 11 since. They've made a change there. And what other final little tidbit notes do I have for you here on the rewatch? Royce O'Neal's foul trouble I thought had a big impact on the game. He wasn't quite right or as aggressive after he got his fouls. Kawhi lower touches I talked about. And worth noting, 3:26 left in the third, Donovan takes a three-point shot. No one's around him. He lands and hurts his ankle with 3:26 left in the third before he leaves the game late in the fourth. So The ankle issue for Donovan is real. Obviously, if Donovan's ankle's not right, this series is not in our favor. Pretty dramatically. It's hard enough without Mike trying to win, beat a series, a team this good that was the best statistical team in the league without an all-star. I mean, it's an incredible task that we're trying to embark upon here. Lead it 2-1, and obviously can take a commanding lead in this series. Tough task at hand. They have figured out a lot of things on how to play us, and now it's time for Quinn to go back to the boards. But the problem for the Jazz right now is if Donovan's at all limited and you're without Mike again, you just don't have a lot of answers. There just is not a lot of firepower there to answer those questions of what they're bringing at you. And so it kind of just gets into trying to match their effort and hope to get hot again. Jazz and the Clippers, game 4 tonight. Ron and I will be here. Keep an eye on the things I brought up. Hopefully that increases your listening experience. We'll have a game recap tomorrow and then a film review of game 4 before game 5. All coming up here on Locked On Jazz throughout the week. Join us every day. We're here for you Monday through Friday, each and every day, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.